Good morning. Welcome to all, especially you visitors. It's good to have the house packed with God's people and visitors from many places. We welcome you. Trust that you join in worshiping the Lord together with us, and the Lord will certainly bless us. This morning I read a verse from our Sunday school lesson, Psalm 42:8, says, "Each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me." And I like the picture of the Lord. He's here with us this morning. He's walking around, pouring his unfailing love upon each of us. He doesn't miss anyone. No one will be bypassed by him. So be expecting him to come by today and to pour his unfailing love upon you. Let's continue to worship with songs.
Good morning. Let's start with number 80. Number 80, ye servants of God.
Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name of the glorious of Jesus extolled.
Christ, who died for me. Face
My mind goes back a few years to 1969. Went to Bible school at Carbon Hill, Ohio, and met my first Kansas person there as a fellow student, Gary Miller. Also met Howard Coons. We were students together back then, and we're glad to have him here this morning. He's pastor at Pleasant View Church in Arthur, Illinois. He will give us our devotional meditation.
Greetings. I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that He is Lord. Philippians 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So it's not a question of whether or not we will acknowledge him as Lord. The question will be, will it be before or after it is too late? So we have that opportunity this morning to call him Lord and to exalt him. And that's what we want to do. We want to exalt his name as we're gathered here this morning in worship. Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And that's what we should do as we're gathered this morning. Let's exalt his name together. That name that is above every name. You servants of God, coming together in the first song, and praise his wonderful name. John 1 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So this morning I trust that all of us believe on his name, and we are come together to worship him. As we think about how they worshiped in the early church and served God, and as they began there, there was a lot of reference made to the name of Christ. And Peter there, as he preached there on the day of Pentecost, that powerful message there, verse 21 of chapter 2 in Acts, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then in verse 38 it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The name of Jesus Christ. And then in Acts chapter 4, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." Then he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved." No other way. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No other way, no other name. Only by him. And then later on, It says, but in Acts chapter 4, 17 and 18, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. What would you do if you couldn't speak anymore in his name? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. They were threatened and told not to use the name of Jesus, as we see here. What would happen if we were threatened? And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings in chapter 4 there again, 29 to 30. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of this holy child Jesus. And then went in chapter 5, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without evidence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. What if it would be said of the people here at center, that you have filled Hutchison with his doctrine, with his name? Trust that's what you're desiring to accomplish, to lift up his name. Now, as we think of us who are God's people being called by his name, I have to think of the verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So we think of our land and all that's going on right now with the election coming up, and there's a lot of questions about the future. Trust that it's because of us that God will be able to retain our country here and not to wipe it off the earth because of God's people willing to humble themselves and pray and seek his face so he can then heal us. Then I'd like to look at some other aspects of a name as we look at Proverbs 22. We might ask this question, how important is your name? And we talked about Christ's name, and we are to exalt his name. But how about our own name? How important is it? Well, Proverbs 22, the first verse says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We've all been given a name. And I wonder how many of us actually like our name. How important is our name to us? Or we might ask, when did the giving of names come into existence? We go back to Genesis. There it says that out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And so he had gave them names to cattle and all the creatures. And then later on in the third chapter, he had the opportunity to call his wife's name Eve. And then after they had, there was Cain and Abel, and they lost them both. We find in the fourth chapter there, it says, and Adam knew his wife again and bare a son and called his name Seth. For God saith, he hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So we have people were given a name, and they were also, likewise, were calling at that time on the name of the Lord. So as we think about our name, do we like our name? Or do we like if someone calls us something else? I think of Brother Orrin here, going back 42 years to Calvary Bible School. And he carried with him, I think the name came from here, so I don't think it happened just there, but he had a little nickname there that, and I won't tell you what it is, but it had something to do with a part of him that was unique. And you know, and God made him that way. God made him, you know, it was special. But that was a name that was used at times. And of course, you know, Orrin, I'm sure he laughed when people would use that name. He would, you know how he is. He's pretty easygoing. But you know, inside, I don't know, did he really like it or not? I kind of wonder about that. I doubt it. You know, that happens so much. You know, in our community, there's a lot of nicknames that are floating around. And even just like the shortening of a name, to abbreviate a little bit, we have an older couple in our church that had three boys. And their names were Willis and Ernest and Kenneth. Well, it so happens that all three of those names can be easily shortened to Willie and Ernie and Kenny. Well, the interesting thing about it was their mother, whenever she refers to her boys, they were always either Willis or Ernest or Kenneth. If she would have wanted to name them Willie and Ernie and Kenny, she would have done that when they were born. So, you know, I think in honor, you know, when, at least when you use their names around them, I think, or use their names around her, I think it's an honor to call them by their correct name. And we had one of the preachers that helped start our church 54 years ago. His name was Simon Gingrich, but he was known as Sim Gingrich. And one time he preached on this subject, and he talked about, you know, nicknames and so on. And so, but he didn't, you know, specifically talk about himself. But I wondered, because he always, you know, he called himself Simon. But other people call him Sim. He didn't like that. How do I know? Because I asked him. I asked him, do you really want to be called Sim? No, I don't. So I, out of respect, I tried much harder after that to call him Simon. Even though I had first known him always as Sim. And I suppose that one of the reasons that I'm a little more sensitive to that is when you have a name like Coons that can be spelled 14 different ways. And you know, subject to all kinds of nicknames like Cooney and Rocky and a whole host of others. You know, those are kind of sensitive things at times. I even had a cousin whose name was Glenn Coons, but probably nobody hardly knew what his real name was because he was always called Coondog. And so, you know, it's things like that that happen that really aren't necessary. You know, name is important. You know, to use a correct name is important. There was a salesman by the name of Sid Levy who called on a customer for some time whose real name was Nicodemus Papadoulos. And so most people, of course, you know, for them, they just called him Nick. But this Sid, he made a special effort to say his name. He said it over and over to himself several times. And then when he got there, one afternoon, he says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Nicodemus Papadoulos." And this man was shocked. First, it seemed like there was, for several minutes, there was no reply. Then finally, he had, with tears rolling down his cheeks, he said, "Mr. Levy, in all the 15 years I've been in this country, nobody has ever made the effort to call me by my right name." You know, it's a sensitive thing. So think about names. We need to use the right name. And also we need to remember, I believe, that a person's name is important to them. This was a principle that Andrew Carnegie learned. He was a very successful businessman. They called him the Steel King. He really didn't know very much at all about the manufacture of steel, but he knew a lot about how to handle people. He had a lot of people working for him who knew a lot more about steel than he did. But wait, going way back to when he was just 10 years old, he had discovered the astounding importance that people will attach to their own name. What had happened was he had a mother rabbit. And presto, all of a sudden he had a whole bunch of little baby rabbits. But he had nothing to feed them. So he has this brilliant idea that I'm going to tell all the boys and girls here in the neighborhood that if they would go out and pull enough clover and dandelions to feed the rabbits, that he would name them after them. And guess what? He got a lot of cooperation. You know, they were very willing to do that, as he would name those bunnies in their honor. It worked like magic, and he never forgot that principle. Then there was years later, he had made millions by using that same philosophy in his business in various different ways. One was that he wanted to sell some steel rails to the Pennsylvania Railroad. And at that time, J. Edgar Thomson was the president of the railroad. And he wanted to sell him these rails. So he had bought this steel mill in Pittsburgh, and he called it the Edgar Thomson Steelworks. And so when the Pennsylvania Railroad, they needed to buy some steel rails, where do you suppose Edgar Thomson went to buy his rails? To Sears and Roebuck? No. He bought them from him. And then later on, Andrew Carnegie and George Pullman, they were battling each other in the railroad sleeping car business. And again, Andrew remembered the lesson of the rabbits. There was he had a company called the Central Transportation Company, and they were fighting with a company that George Pullman owned. They were both really struggling to get into this business, and they were bucking each other. They were slashing prices and destroying all chances of a profit. So they both got together. They were at the same place in New York to see the board of directors of the Union Pacific, and they met one evening at a hotel. And Carnegie says, "Good evening, Mr. Pullman. Aren't we making a couple of fools of ourselves?" "Well, what do you mean?" he demanded. He was kind of cold, you know, to him. And so then Carnegie expressed what he had in mind, and that would be have a merger of their two business interests. Well, then, he pictured in glowing terms of the advantages that they'd have and all of that, and but Pullman, he listened, but he just wasn't sure, and he wasn't convinced. Finally, he asked, "Well, what would you call this new company?" And he, Mr. Carnegie, he replied real promptly, "Why, the Pullman Palace Car Company, of course." And, oh, boy, you know, he really got his attention in a hurry. His face brightened. "Come on into the room here. Let's talk this over." And that talk made industrial history. And so the policy that he had of remembering and honoring the names of his friends and business associates was one of his secrets to success. And he could also call many of his factory workers by name, and probably not by nicknames either. And then also, he never had a strike in any of his businesses because he remembered the importance of names. A person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Then also I'd like to consider some verses to talk about as we gather together at times like this today. In 3 John, verse 14, it says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. greet thy friends by name. Greet thy friends by name. I trust that we do that, but I think it's good for us to be reminded and to consider that, to think about that. Greet our friends by name. In 1 Corinthians 16:20, it says, all the brethren greet you one another with an holy kiss. And I don't think it would be doing an injustice to the scriptures by saying, greet ye one another by name with a holy kiss. I think that would we do well to do that. Then as we think about the importance of having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that was referred to yesterday at the wedding, and I appreciated that, about being there in heaven, the most important event would be called to. So have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I had the same phone number at my house for almost 38 years. But a couple years ago, we switched our home phone to a cell phone. It's now my wife's cell phone number. And after that happened, I got out the phone book, and my name wasn't in there. I mean, that's awful. Here I paid my bill every month for 38 years, and they left my name out of the phone book. That's come. I'm in the nerve. I'm no longer a customer of theirs. And so I'm a Verizon customer now. I'm not a customer of the local phone company at all, so they took my name out. Well, you know, that's no big deal, is it? The big deal is if that day they open the Lamb's Book of Life, and if your name is not there, that'll be a sad day. So I trust that's our desire, to exalt the name of Jesus and to have our names, to rejoice that our names can be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when someday that book is opened, that our name will be in there. We might say, you know, here on earth it's important to, you know, have our name is important to us, but not as important as it will be that day. And I trust that's our desire and our goal. Shall we kneel for prayer? Dear God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to exalt your name. As we worship, we pray that we worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you for each one that is here, the local congregation and the visitors as well. Just pray that we could have a time of fellowship as we look into your word. Bless the Sunday school time and bless the message as well. The brother, as he brings to us a message from your word, that it might speak to our hearts, that we might open our hearts to your word, that you would pour out your spirit upon us. You would just open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon us a blessing. There may not be room enough to receive it. Just pray that the church here could be a light in the community, and a blessing to those around them, that they could be accused of filling Hutchinson and the surrounding areas with your name, with your doctrine, and to live a life of holiness, an example to those around about them. Just guide us throughout this day. Help us to be faithful doers of your work and your will until you call us unto yourself. I pray that at the end of our lives, that when the Lamb's Book of Life is opened, that our names may be written therein, so we can enter into the gates, into that city, where we can praise and exalt your high and holy name forever and ever. Thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Howard. There's only one name that is all known and that is all important. Amen. The Bible says that is the name that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Okay, we'll excuse the teachers for the basement at this time. And we have many visiting children. We welcome you to Sunday school, and you follow along with the other children. And there will be teachers and ushers to help you if you need help. So now we'll excuse the children. We'll excuse all classes. Now, we're going to have large adult classes today, I can see that. So we'll have to do the best we can. And I'm going to suggest that home folks just try to take visitors along with you. Maybe the ushers will help some in traffic direction, however is needed. So rather than explaining where all the classes are, just follow the home folks. And the lesson this morning is Psalm 42 through 44. And next Sunday's lesson will be 45 through 49, highlighting 46. So you can be excused for your classes.
It is good to see the house filled today. And we welcome you all to what the Lord has for us in this next hour. Here are some announcements. Today's offering will be lifted for General Fund, and next Sunday the offering will be for Pilgrim Schools. Wednesday evening we have a Bangladesh report that will be given by Ellis and Anita Miller, returned from the field. Just a reminder that communion is scheduled for 2 weeks from today on October the 21st and on October the 24th. Wednesday evening, we'll have a special presentation from Northern Youth Programs by Steve Kipfer, uncle to Joseph, Dorcas, and Rachel. There are ballots that we intend to get in the mailboxes. I didn't get them there yet. Ballots by the feasibility committee that we'd like to have each one of you fill out. It's an introductory ballot. You may almost not be expecting this question, and it could lead to more. We'd like to have you return them in 2 weeks, and we want to have extras on the tables in the back for singles to get if you'd like, or whatever the need is. We look forward to having a carry-in meal today. All are invited. And from the El Salvador field, Neto Glix, Nick Neto, and Philip Glix have experienced peace and quiet in the last week. That is an answer to prayer. Let's keep praying. Somebody has helped us with an update on the texting while driving laws in Kansas. There's a note on the bulletin board. You'll find it interesting. That prohibition includes stoplights and stop signs unless your engine is turned off. And the minimum fine is $60 plus court costs. Perhaps we need to be reminded that there really is potential for harm if we get distracted in driving. Laverne Miller is attending Dan Schrag this morning, and there may be announcements that you would have from the floor. Would there be announcements? Let's get that mic forward if we have some. There's one up here in the front. The ushers are full-time on duty today. They about don't have time to bring the mic. Here we are. Thank you, Brother Stephen.
I got a call from Gordon Unruh regarding a disaster in Montana. And there's a member from our church that plans to go along to make fences. The fences, it's a disaster of many fences needing help. And maybe Yoder Fence from Yoder, Kansas, will be going. But anyway, Michael Hirschberger plans to go, and you can contact him. By the way, this is next week, the fourth part of next week. A van, an MDS van, will be going. And you can contact Michael, or you can contact me for Gordon Unruh's number if you see a your way clear to go. The number, Gordon's number, in case you have a pen or pencil handy, is 620-834-2319. 620-834-2319. But it looks like an opportunity to have an interesting trip and do some good.
Dad, where is this fence rebuilding?
Oh, Montana. Didn't I say it?
Well, you might have. Somehow okay. I didn't get it. And you say beginning of next week, meaning just a little over a week from now?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for making that clear.
Okay. Anybody else?
For you ladies that loan pans to Janice for the dessert, there's quite a few empty containers under the table back there. They may not quite all be there yet. I'm not sure. They weren't all emptied at the end of the wedding yesterday. Then regarding the announcement that I'd made on Wednesday evening for help for the Gospel Echoes banquet, please, ladies, contact Joanna if you can help bake bread. That has been volunteered on the other one for needing four slots for helping to serve, I guess, borrowing Lowell's way of saying it. If we have three more, the four are filled. So please make it known to me or to Joanna if you can help serve on Tuesday evening. And that is at Journey at Yoder, and more details are on the bulletin board as far as the Gospel Echoes Banquet.
Another announcement about things that were maybe left at the wedding yesterday or at the reception. On the back table there's a hat and some baby clothes, a camera, and a baby book. So if you're missing any of those, why, you might want to see if they're there. And also, I have a friend in prison who has a friend in Germany. Her name is Sylvia, and she's expecting to have colon surgery. I don't know if that has happened yet or not, but he wanted to announce me to announce to pray for Sylvia in Germany. So I'd appreciate if you'd pray for her.
And the request has to do with what? Finding the Lord?
No. Healing.
Okay, let's do that. Is there another announcement?
Yes, the ladies' prayer partner banquet is still scheduled for the 19th of October. However, there are some conflicts for the 19th, so the 22nd of October is the second option. So if you have any major conflicts with the 22nd, let Linda Rose Miller know so they can determine which has the least amount of conflicts. And also, there's a food sign-up sheet in the back on the bulletin board, so take note of that.
For the youth, we have visitation tonight and meet here at 6:45. And someone else has reserved the upstairs or whatever, so meet downstairs and please be prompt.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes.
This announcement from the ushers. We need to set up tables over here in the overflow right after the service. So those of you in the overflow, if you don't mind moving down pretty promptly through the line, then we'll have open area to work with. Thank you.
All right. Again, the offering today will be lifted for our local general fund. And so if the ushers can get themselves positioned, let us all rise for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering with the believers. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us for health and strength, for the blessings of fellowship, and even the joys of experiencing a Christian wedding. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have and for the privilege of hearing other brothers share. Pray that you would bless today as Brother John comes to minister, that your thoughts could be expressed. and that our hearts could be warmed by the truth of Scripture. Father, we pray for Sylvia that you would heal her body, meet her needs in soul and spirit, that she could be whole as you wish. Lord, I pray your blessing on Paul's ministry there. Maybe it's drawing to a close already. But Lord, I pray that the teaching could linger on and that he could express himself for you in the German language, which he hasn't used so much for a while. Pray also that you would bless their visit in Belgium, that they could continue to strengthen believers there, and that you would open up doorways and restore connections and fellowship according to your will. Father, we thank you for the privilege to work together as a body, and I pray that you would meet our needs and bless this offering. We've been blessed in many ways, and we thank you for the privilege that we have to work together to accomplish your will and work here in Reno County, Kansas. Father, pray a blessing of your Holy Spirit to attend us, to infill us, to convict us and strengthen us. In your name we pray. Amen.